Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Hi, my name's Catherine Fairfax Wright. I'm from the United States, and I am participating in the Talents Program as a director. I've worked in film in various capacities. I've worked as a producer on two narrative feature films, and also as a director, cinematographer, and editor of two feature-length documentaries. So I've worked in both fiction and nonfiction, and I hope to continue to do so. I've also done some shorter form, more journalistic stuff for UNICEF and Human Rights Watch and other similar organizations, mostly in sub-Saharan Africa. Right out of college, I produced a feature film called Gabby on the Roof in July, which was a low-budget film that we shot all on location in New York. That was with Sophia Tikal and Lawrence Levine. It was the film that we all cut our teeth on, so to speak. We had very minimal crew, very limited funds, and I think managed to create a pretty decent film. It's one of those films that a lot of people went on to have pretty great careers after, you know, but pretty much every moment of that production was a challenge. We were filming in the same apartment that we were also using as our base camp, and, you know, the kitchen would be in one scene in front of the camera, and then we'd call lunch and expect lunch to be made for the crew from that same kitchen. And, you know, we didn't have an art department, really. We didn't have an AD. There was just a whole lot of parts missing because we didn't have the funds to hire everyone. But what that meant was that Sophia and I really had to figure out how to get it done. So I'm really grateful to that project for teaching me that you can do a lot with very little if you're willing to put your blood, sweat, and tears into it. After that, I started a film called Call Me Kuchu, which tells the story of David Kato, the first openly gay man in Uganda. And that's a film that I made with Malika Zuhali-Worrell. And it was really just the two of us. I shot and edited the film, and she produced it, and we both directed it. We started with no financing at all. We just used what little savings we had and flew over to Uganda because we had heard about the tabling of this anti-homosexuality bill in the Ugandan parliament and were pretty distraught by its potential implications. And we had also heard that there was a fledgling LGBT community there that was really doing their best to organize themselves and fight against this bill. So we were intrigued by that dynamic, how those two things could coexist, and we just decided to go find out about it. And then midway through production, David was actually murdered, our main character, David. So that totally changed the narrative of the film itself, but also suddenly Malika and I felt a really strong responsibility to put out David's story as broadly as we could. We knew that his, you know, final words laid in our footage, and we felt like we owed it to him to have the world see it. So that kind of put everything into high gear, and then we ended up premiering the film at Berlinale, and then we ended up winning some awards. We won the Teddy, we won the Cinema Verbindet Prize, and then we got second place in the Audience Award. That kind of launched our careers and also launched the film on this incredible path where it just screened all over the world in so many different capacities at advocacy events and at the UN and at all sorts of parliaments and embassies and at grassroots events, at film festivals on broadcast and theatrical release. So it was just a really fantastic journey to be a part of. And Malik and I were really able to carve a lot of that path because we didn't have a production company. So we were really able to decide what was important to us about the film's journey. To be able to play at as many advocacy events as possible, it was really important to be able to waive the screening fees to organizations who couldn't afford to pay it, and so on. We were able to find some really great partners in helping achieve all of that. After that, I worked with my good friend Malik Vital, who wrote and directed a film called Imperial Dreams that I produced, which tells the story of a young man coming out of prison and returning to the neighborhood that he grew up in, of Watts, Los Angeles, which is home to many things, but maybe most famous for being the epicenter of the gang strife in Los Angeles. And it stars John Boyega, who we found from a British sort of cult hit, Attack the Block, that he was really great in. And he was just a total delight to work with. And his performance is incredibly compelling. And of course, now he's gone on to Star Wars and Pacific Rim and all of these other films. But that film, again, was able to be used both as a festival hit. It premiered at Sundance and it won its category and eventually sold to Netflix as a Netflix original. But it's also a film that's been able to be utilized by the anti-recidivism activists as a tool for their advocacy, which is really the purpose of it all for me and I think for Malik as well. Most recently, I directed, shot, and edited a film called Behind the Curtain, Todrick Hall, which tells the story of this performer, Todrick Hall, who I didn't know until I was approached to make the film. But he's an incredibly compelling man. He's a dancer, a choreographer, a singer. He was also on American Idol, and he's a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race. But he's also an incredibly intelligent person, unbelievably creative, and someone who really believes in utilizing his art to elevate people. And he believes very strongly in inclusion, in anti-bullying, in it being okay to be weird or different or gay or artsy or whatever you want to be. And the way that he does it has really captured the hearts of a whole swath of people. And that was really lovely to be able to document. I went on tour with them over the summer. It was right on the eve of Trump's election. You know, we're traveling around the country as African-American boys are being killed with frightening frequency by the police. And this is the kind of stuff that comes up both in Todrick's lyrics and amongst he and his castmates as they travel around the country. So it was one of these films that I had to kind of put my own stigmas against, you know, pop culture, YouTubers, and that sort of thing, to very quickly find a story that was really meaningful. And I think that's one of the fun things for the audience to do as well, to really see a whole lot of purpose behind something that otherwise might seem pretty superficial. I double majored in film and anthropology in university, and I think my career has sort of come out of the intersection of those two areas of study. You know, I'm really focused on the human experience in all its different forms, and I think that's why I often, rather than sort of focusing on stories about myself or stories that I've lived, I think I instead tend to focus on exploring parts unknown. The world is full of really complex systems, and I find storytelling a way for me to better understand those systems because it allows me to pick them apart in a way where I'm looking at the dynamics in a very nuanced, humanistic way because I'm telling the story of a person or of a group of people. And looking at it from that angle, I think, has really helped shed a lot of light on my understanding of the world. And that's why I continue to pursue it. In some ways, I think there tends to be two schools of filmmakers. One that tends to focus on stories that they know. And then there's another who tend to instead focus on what they don't know and try to understand that which they don't know through cinema. And I think I'm more in that school. Those are the stories that that intrigue me most. I also enjoy the task of coming to understand something and then trying to disseminate that understanding to an audience. For example, my two documentaries, one about David Kato and the other about Todrick Hall, I had really come to know and love these people and understand them on a lot of different levels. And so I sort of felt the onus upon me to turn that love I had for them back out towards the general public. I think if you're trying to convince someone of the legitimacy of someone's human rights, the best way to do that is to show them as the complex human individual that they are, full of love and laughter and sometimes pettiness and, you know, all the other complex things that we all have within us. And I enjoy the task of conveying that to the greater population. You know, how do I take this very intimate relationship that I've formed and show it for what it is to, you know, a football playing dad in Minnesota and, you know, Christian mother in Sacramento and a fellow member of the LGBT community in, you know, Uganda. I think often the heart, you know, the kernel of a film is often just a projection of that initial kernel of interest that you as a filmmaker have for your subject matter. You know, what is it that I find so engaging about this pop singer, dancer, Todrick Hall? Why am I here bothering to spend the next 9 months of my life There's something to be said for that initial intrigue. And I think your job as a filmmaker is to just push that intrigue out to the audience. And I think you know that you've done your job well if the audience comes away with that same, you know, feeling in their tummy that you had while creating the film. Part of what engages me so much about cinema is the synecdoche of it all, that you can have these very little moments that just happen to one or two or five people, and somehow when projected to thousands of people, the part stands in for the whole. That little moment somehow stands in for some general understanding of humankind, and I think that's what's so powerful about it. My goals for the future are really just to continue on the same path that I have already begun, perhaps on a slightly bigger stage. I mean, I wouldn't mind, you know, having all the more people seeing my films and sharing stories of people that I love all the wider. But I do hope to be able to continue, you know, if I am fortunate enough to get, you know, the bigger and bigger budgets and whatever else, I do hope to maintain a similar sense of intimacy with my subjects and my crew and all of that, because I think if anyone likes my films, a great part of what they're picking up on is that those barriers that have been broken down amongst the filmmakers and the subjects. I think that that's true both of my documentaries and of the narrative films that I've worked on. The films arise from a very special moment in time where we've all just been very interconnected, the filmmaker and the subjects alike. You know, I'm someone who moves into the houses of the people that I'm filming with, or, you know, even John Boyega was living in my guest room for a period of time while he was prepping for Imperial Dreams. And while some of that has been for budgetary reasons, I think something is lost the further you get away from that. So while I do hope to have bigger and grander projects, I hope and will do my best to maintain that intimacy as well. I really love Berlin, and I love the Berlinale, and those were two big reasons why I applied for the talents program. And I also wanted to, you know, as I dive into making a narrative film for the first time as a director, I wanted to have a moment to convene with like-minded people and workshop it and, you know, go to panels and all that kind of stuff to just really dive into that headspace, starting to turn back to the world building and acting and, you know, the different elements of fiction filmmaking that don't cross over as much to documentary. You know, there's a lot I really like about documentary. I think ultimately there's nothing more powerful than a real person's story being told to a real person in an audience. I think documentary subjects have a way of reaching into the hearts of people sitting in the theater seats that very few other mediums have. But that said, I also really love history, and I love futurism, and I love costume, and I love dance, and I love production design and all of these things that don't really have as much of a place in the kind of documentary that I like. And so that's why, for me, it's so great to be able to do both fiction and nonfiction. I'm not necessarily interested in a hyper-naturalistic form of fiction filmmaking that someone might assume from someone who has a history of nonfiction filmmaking. For me, the two have quite different central tenets, both equally important and fun and engaging, and I like to exercise both equally. So I'm thankful to the Berlinale for helping me achieve that.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.